GMOs are organisms where genes from one species is forced into the DNA of other species. For the food we eat, there are two primary traits. The herbicide-tolerant crops are designed not to die when sprayed with herbicide. So Roundup-ready soybeans don't die when sprayed with Roundup herbicide. The other main category are the pesticide-producing crops that produce a toxin that breaks open the stomach of insects and kills them. And these are created from a technology of swapping genes between species that has never naturally existed in history until the scientists figured out what they can do a couple of decades ago.
Don't they use genetically modified organisms to create food that's more nutritious, tastes better? I mean, what's wrong with science being used to improve food?
Well, they've been promising that GMOs would feed the world, taste better, improve nutrition, but they have fallen short because their assumptions about DNA and the biology of our systems is completely false. It's based on obsolete science. In fact, the process of genetic engineering itself, irrespective of whether the gene you put in is benevolent or not, the process is fraught with unpredicted side effects. It creates massive collateral damage in the DNA. Up to 5% of the naturally functioning genes can change their levels of expression. This is why genetic engineering in its current form is not ready for prime time, even if the traits are good for you.
Are GMOs in the food that people eat? For example, were my cornflakes this morning, did it come from genetically modified corn?
I'll do you one better. I'll say that your cornflakes probably were from corn that was not only sprayed with Roundup herbicide, which was then concentrated in the corn kernel, and that's linked to cancer, endocrine disruption, Parkinson's, birth defects, etc. But the corn probably also produced BT toxin. Your cornflakes this morning might have resulted in a number of problems, which unfortunately scientists are not tracking, and we have to put it together from a variety of directions, but when they look at it, the doctors say this is way too dangerous.
Is it just corn that's being genetically modified?
No, we have soy, canola, used for oil, cotton, which is for cottonseed oil, alfalfa, used for animal hay, sugar, beets, used for sugar, and then there's also Hawaiian papaya, zucchini, and crooked egg squash.
How prevalent is it? How widespread is it in agriculture in the United States today?
Well, there's only 9 genetically modified food crops, but because soy and corn and sugar are included, and because canola and cottonseed oil are included,
It's in everything.
We're talking processed foods. It's in most processed foods.
And there is no labeling requirement. Is that correct?
Not in the United States, in 49 other countries. So 40% of the world's population do enjoy labeling in the countries where they live. But in the United States, there are, however, states that have introduced labeling legislation. I was just speaking yesterday at the Connecticut Task Force for Labeling, testified there for 2 hours. In California, they have a ballot initiative, so the people will vote directly on whether GMOs will be labeled in that state, and that'll be election day.
I see food on the shelves now that's labeled natural. I see a lot of that, actually. Am I to take that to mean that there is no genetic modification in that?
Unfortunately, no. The word natural is defined by the company any way they want to. And the California ballot initiative will mandate that no company can put natural on a product that is also genetically engineered. So if that passes, you won't be confused anymore by that natural claim.
If I'm an organic grower, I've got a backyard garden, or maybe I'm a small farmer. Do I have to concern myself with cross contamination?
Absolutely. In fact, it would only be in the species that are the same or related to the genetically engineered ones. But contamination makes the GMO situation irreversible. In the long run, we have no technology to fully clean up the self-propagating living genetic pollution of the gene pool. And so putting it outside, putting the products of this infant science outdoors where you can permanently change nature does not make sense given our infant understanding. And then we're not only doing that, we're feeding it to everyone who eats. So this is really one of the most serious problems we've ever faced in history. The genes released today can outlast the effects of global warming and nuclear waste. And yes, organic farmers are suffering from contamination. Sometimes they have to lose their ability to sell their products as organic, and there's very little support in this government to protect that.
You're going to be doing a workshop here in addition to giving a keynote address on Saturday night. Tell me a little bit about the workshop that you're doing here in terms of trying to help educate people as to the issues surrounding GMOs.
Well, we're doing a speaker training workshop. We've taught close to 800 people already, full-day workshops, eight-hour webinars online. Because what's happened in the last few years, I've been working on this for 16 years, and I've never seen the level of unprecedented support for non-GMO alternatives, for getting the word out there. We have thousands of people involved in our Tipping Point network, which is accessible through responsibletechnology.org. And so people, we were actually quite surprised. We were thinking a couple of years ago, let's just offer speaker training. Maybe we'll get 25. Maybe we'll cap it at 25. We got 150. So we have then been traveling around the country giving this workshop, and we just gave a workshop in California, which was also focused on the labeling. Now, I'm going to also be giving a workshop on local activism on Saturday so that people can get organized, because they're getting organized all over, and also a workshop on the details of the documented health risks of genetically engineered foods, as well as the keynote in the evening.
For people who aren't going to be at this conference, is there do you have a website where they can get more information about this issue?
Sure. ResponsibleTechnology.org can give information about the issue. We have free videos, free audios, articles. In fact, there's also another website called non-GMOshoppingguide.com and an iPhone application, free, called Shop No GMO, which helps people because it lists thousands of third-party verified non-GMO products.